The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See you live off the record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, City of Hope, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General. Insurance made simple.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I hope that you are doing well and had a great weekend. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, or you can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or your BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. On a Friday, September 19th, we would have gone exactly 4 years since our last general election. In that last general election on September 19th, 2021, the Progressive Liberal Party won 32 seats. Independent candidates and parties won 0 seats. And the Free National Movement, which had been the government, won 7 seats. Therefore, the Progressive Liberal Party became the governing party of Philip Edward Davis, now Prime Minister. The Free National Movement then was led by Hubert Alexander Minnis, Doctor. In that general election, the Progressive Liberal Party got 66,407 votes, and the Free National Movement got 46,030 votes. So basically, about 20,000 less votes than the Progressive Liberal Party. Independent candidates and parties got 14,303 votes, which was 11.29% of the votes. So if you combine the independent parties and candidates' votes with the Free National Movement votes, they still would not as many votes as did the Progressive Liberal Party. Overall, approximately 60% of eligible voters, registered voters, actually voted. It was in 2021 was indeed, and in fact, the lowest turnout of voters in the history of voting in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in terms of percentage of votes. I'm not taking any calls yet at all, not yet. I have some comments to make. The Progressive Liberal Party became the government some 4 years ago. Prime Minister Davis and his party went to church, as parties tend to do on occasions of the anniversary of their victories at the poll. In this country, it's part of our acknowledgement of God's rule in the national affairs of the country. That's how we see it. And so parties tend to go to church to say to God, thank you for giving me and us this opportunity to serve. Prime Minister Davis, in, as usual, what any leader would do on such an occasion, sought to give an account of the successes of his party while governing for the last 4 years. I tried to get the actual speech the Prime Minister gave. So from his own, I thought if it was a written something, his own words, so that I could read his own words. I did not get it, notwithstanding I tried to get it. Maybe there was none, I don't know. But I've read reports in both the Nassau Guardian and the Tribune as to comments made by Prime Minister Davis about his party's and government's achievement these last 4 years. In listing out some of those achievements. I just got it. Thank you. Thank you. So, in listing out those achievements, among the things that the Prime Minister mentioned was the 1 million school breakfasts served in a program that now includes 17 ons. So he mentioned the breakfast program that was initiated by the government. He mentioned the 500 young Bahamians trained in the country's first National Service Corps, the National Youth Guard it is called. He mentioned that the tourism industry was revitalized with new opportunities for Bahamian entrepreneurs. He mentioned the country's first nationwide apprenticeship program. He mentioned, and I'm reading, but just as pretty much as listed, read in his speech. So I'm not reading from the speech. He mentioned the major sporting events held here at home once again, and record support for our athletes. He mentioned the renovations to 52 clinics two new hospitals and our investment in labs and diagnostics emergency vehicles for our family islands in motion. Okay? So in motion, there's renovations to 52 clinics. There's two new hospitals. He didn't say there are two new hospitals under construction, et cetera. See, sometimes language matters. But he says two new hospitals and our investment emergency vehicles for our family islands. He mentioned the first substantial, extensive effort to build opportunities for Bahamians in fly fishing. He mentioned more than 50 labor agreements having been signed, a record, and a reflection of our respect for hard-working Bahamians, says the Prime Minister. He mentioned the new legal protections for Bahamian artists and musicians and a new performing arts school to nurture and grow their talents. He mentions millions of acres of our oceans newly protected, innovations in agriculture and food security. He mentions new investments in Grand Bahama and expansion of urban renewal, hundreds of new homes. He mentions comprehensive nationwide energy reforms, extraordinarily difficult and complex, but absolutely essential, will bring solar power, infrastructure upgrades, and modernization to a failing system. He mentioned thousands of public servants promoted, new trade ties to diversify and bring down costs, free Wi-Fi in parks across the country, new courts, stricter bail rules, a strengthening of our borders, and a country that is standing up for itself on issues from security to climate finance to tax fairness. He mentioned record levels of investment and an economic development plan that is finally, truly nationwide with new roads and docks and airports across our island. Those are the listing. In other words, the things in which the Prime Minister and his team are saying, we did them. We did them. I have a very simple question for you today. All right? What say ye? 4 years later. Let's say ye. No words from me yet. What say ye? That's the Prime Minister's list. Think about that for a moment. It's like a business, it's like an entrepreneur with an elevator pitch. You have only time enough before the elevator doors open to say this investor, this is what I can do. Prime Minister, this is your pitch, man. This is the pitch to the public. This is the pitch to the people you serve. Here's my list of achievements. What did it start with? The breakfast program. What did it end with? Infrastructure across the family islands, across the country. Let's see. How do you receive the pitch? How do you connect to the report of the achievements? How do you grade them? And I'm not asking for grade. I'm just saying, how do you evaluate this? How do you assess what I just read from the Prime Minister, from his own words, deciding this isn't from the Nassau Guardian, wasn't from the Tribune. It says 4 years of walking together in faith, humility, and gratitude. This is how the Prime Minister's speech has been coined. 4 years of walking together in faith, humility, and gratitude. Prime Minister Philip Davis remarks at the PLP 4th anniversary church service. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, perhaps you shall share your thoughts. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conant, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences. This is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on a beautiful Monday afternoon. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Shivago.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, Shivago. Could you ask some people this direct us? First of all, right, the statement, it come across to me. Like, you know, with those movies, when they first came out, you needed the certain glasses to see the correct movie. Right? That's how the statement come across to me. You need to be drinking a certain juice because the tour...
You mean when 3D-dimensional movies first came out,
right?
There was certain kind of glasses to watch the movie properly.
Speech come across to me. And I ain't drinking that juice, so I really couldn't really get... The correct understanding because stay with me.
I mean, the Prime Minister does did initiate a breakfast program. I can't verify what the numbers are fed, but I can't dispute it. The Prime Minister says it's 1 million. There was a National Guard program initiated. He indicates that 500 people have been trained in it. I know mentions were made of a apprenticeship program. Quite frankly, I do not have myself any evidence of that program's unfolding, the number of people. I don't know anything. But these are things we know to have been done, though.
Right. But Chiwago, yes, if a prime minister could come on and say he had to feed 1 million breakfast in a population of children with is under less than 100,000 students, I mean, what country? What did that mean, Prime Minister? Is that something
that's an
to
interesting
brag
question?
About?
That's an interesting question. But if the need exists and you are doing it and you're filling it, that's something also, though.
Yes, I agree. But Chiwago, our Prime Minister, they knew about these needs, right? But they didn't do anything towards the need. That's why it increased. That's why they could boastly
let's talk about what they did in 4 years. Because here's what's going to happen. There's no question the PLP is going to talk about what ministers didn't do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But ministers already lost the election. What they didn't do when they were in office, the PLP meaning when Prime Minister Davis was Deputy Prime Minister, that's that they lost office. So that's all now like a little bit of history. He's now given an account of his stewardship for these 4 years. And can you see that? And what do you see?
Well, I would like somebody to firstly point out the two hospitals that they so desperately needed in this country. We was crying for hospitals for decades. And our prime minister disclosed us that we have two hospitals built. So if somebody could point those two hospitals to us, where I possibly might not have to go to Princess Margaret, I don't know if they're on this island.
He didn't say built. He said being built.
He said two.
Yeah. So he's referring to the one the plans are drawn for Nassau, and then the other one, which is being built. I can't tell you that there is massive construction.
Right on this, but see, that's where the juice or the glasses come in, you know, because you looking at people and telling them the same things what they was hearing for time and time and time, and expect for somebody to just jump on the bandwagon of celebration. What the prime minister needs to do, in my opinion, sir, is to swiftly call a general election, because he obviously is governance is obviously beyond this prime minister. So have a nice day.
Okay, thanks for calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, how you doing, sir, on the line?
I'm right here, man. What's up?
I like you to give me an educated thought on my point of view. I look at this government as I voted for them. I can be honest with you. And I grade them from my grading, from my personal purpose, at a C+, given the challenges that they had. I think they most of the things that they were doing on in their platform, I think are challenges that we as the humans had as normality.
Why didn't you vote for Dr. Minish then? Because he had massive challenges.
I didn't vote for the Dr. Minish because of what they send, the persons that they send in my area. I thought that was the person who I wanted to come out.
I see.
That's where I'm coming from. It wasn't against the FNM totally. I think he did a superb job at the challenges that he faced.
I see. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was a principle you were applying. Yes.
Yeah, but I'm like you saying. That's why I asked you. You know, from your educational point of view, because I already listened to you. And I said this based on this, the challenges that this government that I voted for faced is that the normality exposed the reality in many cases for them. Because they haven't faced, you know, what was the normality on the family islands with no fire trucks and no thing. But when those fires happened, the normality became the reality. But they had to look at things that they need to put in stuff. As for the infrastructure, they did this stuff. I'm not saying I'm going to vote for them this time, because I'm looking at, when I go to vote to the poll this time, the main topic for me is illegal migration. Not really immigration, but illegal migration. And that was what they settled in their new day agenda that highlighted me to bring this to expose. But this election, this is going to be the issue of the day, and I will address that when I go to the polls. I voted for the PLP. I'm just not guaranteed I'm going to vote for them this time. I'm just saying that the challenges that they face at this time, based on the like you say, the pitch.
What were the challenges you thought that they faced that were like extraordinary or significant? What were those challenges?
Challenges when I look at on the like I tell you, the normality exposed reality. The challenges was that on the family island that I'm in now, so people on the family and had no fire engines, no.
But that's not a challenge. That's not a challenge. That's right, a resource provision. So that's like any administration.
All right.
Could have and should have provided that. It's not a challenge because if we could pick up and spend millions of dollars doing something cultural, junk, travel. We could spend millions of dollars to feed children. I know the government. Government could find money, right?
Find the money for ambulances. Saying, but I mean, like how you were in government. I just saying that where it was so normal that we, at the normality, we just look at it. If it didn't happen, those events didn't happen, it brought it to reality.
But that's not a challenge they faced.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. But, see, when I think of a challenge is. Okay, I want to give you fire trucks, but there are none available that I can buy.
Okay,
I don't have money to buy.
I understand where you're coming from now.
That's a challenge, not the fact that somebody ended up in an emergency and needed the fire truck.
I understand where you're coming from. But at my point, like I said in the beginning, I voted for them and at this the new election, I'll have to evaluate what all parties are saying. They're going to move the country forward. But for me, I will give. Give them a C+. I think. And
I got you, buddy.
They met most or tried to achieve most of the stuff that they said.
The
New Day challenge.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You spoke very clearly. Thank you. Call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Do you have another caller? No? Okay. This text says 25,000 primary students. So that is 40 days of feeding out of the year. If you fed 50%, that is 80 days. I don't understand that. So 3 years later, somebody sent me pictures of the hospital in Grand Bahama. What they sent me is the foundation and some steel stuff. Screaming, but that's it. Okay. It's Texas. Good afternoon. No hospital is being built in Grand Bahama. He is referring to the clinic, which is supposed to have been finished. I understand the roof isn't on the structure. He's also talking about 1 million breakfasts was given to the children. I wonder how many of them belong to immigrant children who are taking up all the seats in our public schools. PL lying to the people, I won't be supporting them. That's fine, but don't say that Haitians taking up all children taking up all the seats in the public school. Now that's not true. That isn't even close to true. We can take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to See Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Going. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bella hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing, just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Pretty much all this week, we can look at and examine, and we will look at and examine the performance of the government, the Progressive Liberal Party administration, the Davis administration over these last 4 years. And we will look at the performance of the opposition under the leadership of Michael Pintard also. We will look at that also and see what we conclude, right? Because they are both important to the progress and democratic viability of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We will look at individual ministers and see what our thoughts are about their performance. We'll look at individual members of parliament and we'll see what their thoughts are about their performance. And we're going to do this from the perspective of yourselves and the way you see it, but we're also going to do it from the perspective of how I understand in fact and in reality how these people are supposed to perform their duties. Also, with our thoughts, or we may not. Okay? Today, we're looking at the government in broad, as articulated by the Prime Minister, the head of the government, the head of the Progressive Liberal Party, and what he had to say about his own performance. See, this isn't about me and what I say about his performance. This isn't about what you have said. This is what he has said. And he says this, he said his list was not exhaustive. But there is something called the psychology of the list. And I want you to remember that. Whenever somebody asks you to give them a list of something, give me the list of your top 10 this. The list of your top, your five worst this. It is typical for us to go from strong to weak in, on the list. Meaning, the first set of things we mention are what we believe is our strongest case, our best result. And then as you go down, you start scrapping, is what we say. And so what you notice is you go from specific to vague down a list. 1 million, 500. And then what do you start saying? Significant. See the difference? Specificity, 1 million, 500. Significant. You check it out. We all do it. All right? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you familiar with the National Youth Program?
You mean the National Youth Guard?
Oh, sorry. My bad. Yeah, the National Youth Guard.
Well, I really don't know a lot about it, but I've heard some things.
Mr. Lang, listen to me. That is, I had a nephew at the age of 18 sitting in front of the TV playing video game, don't know what he wanted to do. His family enrolled him into that. You know what he is now? He's a certified diver. And the government, I think the government paid him.
And this is from the National Youth Guard?
I think it's the National Youth Guard.
Because there's a couple of programs. There's an apprenticeship program, and then there's the National Youth Guard. So which one of them was he in?
It's the National Youth Guard.
Okay, and so yeah, they took him and made him a certified diver.
Yes, sir. And now he's on his way now. He's getting his first vehicle.
Okay. It's a very nice
program. I think the Defense Force and this training on those young fellas. I think they had 103 graduates from that.
Okay. PM said he 500 young people have passed through the program.
Yeah, it's a very good program. Very good.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Okay, do we have another call on the line? No, we're not another caller. Okay, no. Okay. This text says, with 4 years to complete works and no major setbacks, I want to know how many of these projects are 30% complete, 50% complete, along with the project size in both budget and estimate of impact. Says this texter. This text says, hello, Mr. Lang. I do not feel the impact of anything the PM said was done. For example, I'm driving from South East Street to North, and it feels as if nothing has changed since the 1990s. And it certainly tells of the true state of our country. There isn't much development aside from the downtown East and West. Yeah. That says that texter. Let me see. Okay. So, 4 years, right? 365 times four, right? That's over 1,000, almost 1,200 days. The PM has provided a list of accomplishments. And he put atop that list, school feeding program, youth guard. Right? Like, it says, so that person didn't vote for Minnis with a pandemic and Category 5 hurricane and giving PLP a C+ with no hardships encountered. That's what he said. This text says, Mr. Lang, can you please inform me of the performance opposition, based on the PLP government under the administration of Mr. Philip Davis? I gave them a C minus for you to tell me what to rate the opposition on, because I'm lost. Because it'll be unfair to rate them on the way they treat their own, like the former PM. Well, why are you waiting for me to tell you how to rate them? I didn't tell you how to rate the PLP. I indicated we will talk about the opposition performance too, but you can't ask me to tell you how to rate them. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi. Good day, Mr. Lang. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
I'll be good. It's hot.
Oh, yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
Huh? Yes. I say, are you hot?
Horribly hot, sir.
Okay.
But anyway.
It looks like it can rain where I am, so.
Yeah. It's about to rain. But Jesus is law. Anyway.
Yes,
I want to ask you, though. I don't see a lot of people focusing on this boundaries thing. I spoke to you about that last week. Listen, how important? I think I'm missing something on it. How important is that boundaries commission report? And when is it expected to come out? And who decides? Because I think, some tricks. Yeah, I think some tricks are coming up regarding that. And I'll hang up and listen because I'm outside while I'm talking to you. So what? Please.
Okay.
Please focus on that.
Well, the deputy prime minister is responsible for the committee that's producing the boundaries report, and he indicated that there'll be no report until not during the next sitting. They were off their break. So he says it's coming, though. It's coming. So it's coming. It's a part of the constitutional requirements for the holding and hosting of elections. So it's important to that extent. It's important because it tells us it evaluates the population dynamics in the country, the growth, the shifts, and that kind of stuff. So it's supposed to reflect an effort to provide equity in the distribution of voters across the population. And so it's important to that extent. When is it going to come out? We don't know. There's no timeline set that we know of. It has to come out at some point before election, though, and at a required time before election. So we'll see it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We got to take a break for news. When we come back, I'm going to give you some thoughts on what I heard. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand. We'll be right back.
it up, time to put my life back together.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Happy that you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us. You can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, pleasant. Good afternoon. How are you doing, Chicago?
Hey, Anton. What's up?
I'm right here. I was just listening to your conversation. Before I get into what I want to say, let me just make a correction. The tomorrow, the 16th of September, will actually mark the anniversary of the general election, which was held on the 16th, not the 19th. So it will not be Friday. It'll be tomorrow.
The election was held on the 16th?
Yes, the 16th of September, 2021, not the 19th.
Okay. Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah, so, I might have. Yeah, I was looking at something. I was looking at something that gave me that. Yeah, yeah, the 16th. You're right. Yeah, right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Earlier. Yeah, so tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Show. Yeah, it's tomorrow. I'm now getting into some of this conversation. There were a couple of callers, one in particular who focused on discussing the hospital, who provided some misinformation, because the structural work has been moving very swiftly on the hospital, right?
What do you mean swiftly? What does that mean?
You can actually see the structure completely out of the ground up to the first belt.
Yeah, I said that on the show. I told them, somebody sent me the photos. So I told them you can see the foundation. You can see the beginning of the framing.
There's more than a foundation.
Anton, I live in Grand Miami, you know. I live here. I'm saying to you, I didn't say just the foundation. I said, and the framing coming up. That's what I said earlier in the show.
People may not understand what you mean by framing, so I'm being more specific and stating the columns and the belts and all.
I don't mind you being more specific, but you said I said only the foundation. I didn't.
I don't recall saying that just now, Shivago. But nonetheless, and the hospital here in Nassau, the preparation for the land will begin this month. And so that's critical to note, right? The next thing that I wanted to speak to regards to this consistent misinformation that is being brought on multiple talk shows regards to the current government led by Prime Minister Davis not having any significant challenges in his administration. That's absolutely incorrect.
First of all, let me tell you what is not going to happen, you have to speak, but you have to be expeditious about it, right?
That's what I'm doing, Shivago. I'm moving from point to point.
So yeah, but I'm not, but Anton, with the greatest respect though, I'm go ahead, man. Go ahead. You know, this is your show. Y'all run it. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I'm going to listen. Go ahead, buddy.
Thank you for the opportunity to finish my point. And so moving to my
I'm only joking, Anton. I want you to really make your point. You got to make your points with some haste for me. Yeah, move it along for me.
I'm just trying to move it along swiftly. And so my final point being.
So you said that they. Some people have said that no major challenges. What were the major challenges you would list out?
Okay, Shivago. That was COVID-19, which was the most significant challenge of the Menace administration. And that was Dorian, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Shivago?
Yeah, no, you speak, man. Speak. I'm listening.
Okay. The mitigation for Dorian was left completely undone by the Menace administration, which was the administration. So was the mitigation, the financial, economic, and every other fallout from COVID-19 was left undone by the Menace administration, and it was the number one challenge of this current administration. They had to take it up. It was left unresolved. The finances were left in disarray, and they had to be brought under control. And this administration, led by Mr. Davis, had to do that heavy lifting. And so to suggest that this administration, just because COVID-19 did not happen under this administration, that they did not have an absolute challenge, it's misinformation to the voice core. Because the administration who's left with the challenge of doing the cleanup work is the one who's left with the real challenge.
Anton, so let me give you a little bit of pushback, right? So as passionate as you would like to be, let me give you a factual pushback that I observe.
Okay.
Do you know how many times I listen to members of the current administration speak of what happened during the Menace administration, and they seem to understate what happened in terms of the pandemic? You're now telling me that having not been in the height of the pandemic, it's a huge challenge, but it's so many times understated with respect to ministers.
I've never understated it, Chibago, nor would I ever. That wouldn't make sense.
Okay, so you're just saying from your perspective.
I'm clearing and correcting the air we had on. And another administration has to do the work to clean up the finances, to clean up
that's
the
interesting.
Economy.
That's interesting. That's interesting. No, I said that's interesting. That's interesting.
Right,
that's interesting, I think.
Because this, and it's the current administration, because the Menace administration did not repeat government.
Do you know, Anton, I do not disagree with you.
So the burdens...
The only difficulty I have is I wish that others in the current administration would speak to the degree of that challenge in both administrations. I wish they would acknowledge the impediment that it posed. Now, you say, Minister left all of this undone and all that undone. Anton, you ever been in a pandemic?
I experienced COVID-19, of course.
Okay, you think that the world does not still have legacy issues as a consequence of the COVID-19 pandemic? The world.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, okay.
But all I'm saying,
you're saying Minister left this undone and that undone. What did they leave undone?
They left the economy undone.
How did they leave the economy undone? When the government changed on September 16, 2021, the Bahamas is in a robust 14% economic recovery. 14%.
Despite that economic number, Shibago, the economy still had a debt to GDP of over 100%.
Yeah, but we all knew that was going to normalize, because what happened was
the government can make bad decisions.
Anton, listen to me, man. No. See, this is winning now. I'm not a Menace fan. I'm not spinning. In 2020, when the pandemic hit, the IDB, the IMF, Shivago Lang, and other economists were saying, unless something untoward happened, the Bahamas would return to pre-pandemic levels of economic activity by 2024.
And
we said that before the pandemic even weaned.
Is that an assumption, Shibago?
It was not an assumption. It was a forecast.
Okay. It's a forecast, an assumption.
And it was a simple forecast. Anton, I'm not going to have this argument with you, to be honest with you, right?
We
spent enough time.
Thank
you very much. Seriously, I got to go. I'm not going to do that all day with you. I'm not going to do that all day. Listen, I mean, I'm delighted to hear Anton say what he said. denied it. That somebody is wanting to acknowledge the massiveness of the pandemic in relation to two terms of government. But I am not going to sit down here and allow Antoine, because he thinks so, to also not acknowledge that there are the narrative that has the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has often said, and our Minister of Finance, that when he came to office, the Bahamas was on an economic cliff. Economic cliff recovering at 14%? Economic cliff? Oh, man. You know how many times I refuted that? That they had to open up the economy. Refuted that? And would not put in context what massive implications both Dorian and the pandemic had. But that's the besides the point. See, Antoine would, by virtue of the way he is coming at it, would not have done what I am suggesting now. If I'm Prime Minister of the Bahamas, and I am reporting to my people about what I have done, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you metrics. Metrics to measure what I have done. And I am going to lay those out for you in a concise presentation. I am going to be able to say to you, and I'm going to start with what I would regard as the most potent things in relation to yourselves, the people of this country. Right? I would say, you know, when I came to office, the growth rate of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas was X. Y. That's a measure. You can measure. You can see what has happened to growth. Now, if the Prime Minister of the Bahamas uses that metric today, it will not look good to him, for him at first. Because when he came to office, the growth rate of the economy of the Bahamas would have been 14%. 4 years later, the most recent reporting of the growth rate would put it at 3-point-something%. Well, 14 is higher than 3 points. So 4 years later, the economy is growing at a slower pace than 3% than it did 4 years before. But then I would explain to you, the public of the Bahamas, that extraordinary growth in 2021 was to be expected, given that the economy was furloughed, and then as we brought it back to normal functioning, it expanded to its normal, usual pre-pandemic level of activity. So to think that it would continue at that pace would have been unreasonable. But I would note that as we got back to normal growth levels, in my last year, according to the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, our growth was at 3%, which 3% would have been higher and around what we would have been seeing pre-pandemic. So I would have given you those metrics, things you could see. Now, while I give you that as a metric, I'd give you what the unemployment rate is today, right? I give you those metrics as well. I give you what the inflation rate was when I came to office, what the inflation rate is today. I'm talking about the economic progress of the country since I came to office. Now, let's be honest. Not everything that has happened, positive or negative, is a result of the government's direct intervention. That's a fact. But I am presiding over all of it. And since you blame me for the good, I'm going to take credit for the bad too, even if my direct intervention may not have resulted in it. These things are happening while I am in office. I would have given you, this was the level of foreign direct investment when I came to office. This is the level of foreign direct investment today. Okay? So those are like those kinds of economic statistics placed side by side gets to how people see what progress has been made as measured in the country. Right? I do crime the same way it was when I came to office. This is where it is today. Now, mind you, if you take the most recent statistics in terms of full year, that will not make my case relative to what I met. But if you look at what has happened since that time, you will see that things were trending downward. So I can say it's going in the right direction. And if you take the half year mark and where we are, things going forward, if they remain the same, will be less than what it is this year. I would say that. These are measurable things that people can hold on to. You can't hold on to significant. You can't measure significant. Right? That's platitude. Okay? So you can give these metrics for these kinds of things. You want to talk about domestic investment. What do you know? When I came to office, this was the number of business licenses that existed in the country. Today, this is the number of business licenses that exist in the country. You could do that too. Okay? You can do measures in relation to the populations, to the country's fiscal affairs. This is where the debt, the GDP ratio was. This is where it is today. This is where the deficit was. This is where it is today. And you can even compare it to what it was pre-pandemic. And you give people a picture of what has happened under your tenure as reflected in objective, measurable things. Because when you get to these platitudes and subjective descriptions of life, people get to put it back on you and say, well, let me talk about my life and what I am experiencing. But that isn't a fair measure of what actually is happening across the board, because even the best, most outstanding government in the world will still have people who are perishing, who are suffering under its tenure. Similarly, even people under the worst governments on planet Earth will prosper under those governments. If you don't believe me, you go into Haiti and see how many wealthy people still exist in Haiti, notwithstanding the massive poverty that exists in that country. But you talk about the broad experience of change, the broad experience of shifts that happen under your tenure. And that gives people, that gives us something to look at and not be so, you know, so very personally biased about it. And hoping to God that our pitch, our spin, FNM, PLP, DNA, don't make no difference, COI, all hoping to spin is what gets people. How about we get people with just some basic facts? Right? Anton wants to tell us where the building, the clinic is. Government not be able to say, let me show you. My God, we have a whole government with resources. Go take the pictures and put them online. This is what was, see the bush? This is what is today. Why you need Anton to defend you and tell people who live in a place what is happening? I cannot understand why we in the government of the Bahamas, some to a greater degree than others, will not commandeer the vast resources at our disposal to make a measured case for what we have done. Really? So the Prime Minister, as an example, gives a measure of the number of children fed. This is children who apparently couldn't feed themselves for breakfast, needed the government to feed them. That's great, because if the need exists, the need exists. But you're the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. I cannot say, when I came to office, the number of children who graduated high school was this. Now it's this. The number of children who got scholarships and were able to go to school was this. And now it's this. Do they not, those things, do they not matter? A million fair children, a million feedings of children is not a million children. We don't have a million children in the public education system. 40, 50,000? What is happening with the rest of them? The ones who didn't have to be fed. No metrics, no measures, no performance indicators. Now, I'm not talking about what the Minister of our Education might do in respect of her thing. I'm saying the Prime Minister is making a report of his tenure 44 years later. And I'm saying that we could have benefited. Dr. Minnis didn't do it. Prime Minister Davis hasn't done it. Mr. Christie didn't do it. And Mr. Ingram didn't do it. What have done though, and he has a book of his speeches he could show you. If you listen to a report that Mr. Ingram did on his tenure or any issue, you look at the number of numbers and things and thing measures he put inside there. But he didn't do it in the way that I would be indicating. Right? But you know, but to be honest with you, in my view, some of this is this nebulousness, this ambiguity, this, you know, just qualitative descriptions. It's one, easy, and it's also convenient. Right? It's easy and it's convenient. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, Mr. Lang. How are you again?
I am okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I spoke with you just before you went to the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the Boundaries Commission report. And I really want you to please explain this to me. Okay.
Mm.
Now, here, just a little example. If I'm a potential, I'm a candidate for a particular area, and I go and I campaign here, there, and everywhere, and then later, I find out that all them places, I done spent all my money, you understand, right?
But it's seldom.
And then the Boundaries Commission come out and say, the report come out and say, half of them people who I been campaigning, they even ain't my people. I mean,
yeah, but
that's
it's,
why I wanted you to please explain, because I know,
yeah,
right? And I understand,
yeah,
it's a legend. Right?
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
I need to find out. I really, for my own self, I want to find out. You've already said that it's the Deputy Prime Minister, but I really need to find out. When is it? Because it ain't fair.
Can I tell you something for a moment? Can I tell you something really seriously? This seriously, right? You're raising good questions. But let me also indicate that any experienced campaigner and any party understanding campaigns knows that you tell your candidates that while they campaign in the constituency along the boundaries that exist at the time, that they should also be mindful of speaking to and campaigning with people beyond that boundary, right? So you don't just say, okay, well, you in Fort Charlotte, yeah. And then somebody says, you in Grantstown, and they say, yeah. Oh, well, you and my constituents, I ain't gonna talk to you. No, you talk to them because you never know.
But, okay, here's what I'm asking.
And if even if the boundaries change and you lose some of those people, now you have data to give to your colleague. Just like your colleague has data to give to you.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a massive impediment, because the boundary changes are never really that substantial. Sometimes they are, but they're not really that substantial.
You mean in the past?
Yeah, hello? I mean, sometimes it could be, mind you, but I'm saying,
okay,
generally speaking, it's not. Listen, if the government can stay, it can stay. If it can change, it can change. The boundaries can stop that.
Well, of course. But I'm only asking you this. You don't think it make more sense to say, well, okay, at a certain time, before election, we are to say, well, okay, this boundary, boom, these are the boundary commission has already produced this and say, okay, this is September. By October now, right? Because you know what, it could be for a couple of months into next year.
The Constitution does define the limits of the reporting of the boundaries commission.
And when is it?
I can't tell you offhand. Sure. I mean,
but I think,
you know,
I personally think it should be now.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I think it should be in advance enough to allow people to campaign with some intelligence. Yes, ma'am. I agree with
that's
you with that.
That's all I say in song.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
I
agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Anyway, you have a good day.
You too, ma'am. Appreciate you calling. Appreciate it. All right, we're gonna take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. They mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
Nothing beats a Chikchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chikchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chikchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChikchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can Call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, hi, Shivago. What he is not taking into account, I assume you mean Anton, is that the PLP government took over the next full year, 2022. The full year economic growth was also unprecedented at about 14 to 15%. Well, it wasn't unprecedented, because that would mean it never happened before. And it was around about 11%, not 14, 15%. But it was in full recovery, that's for sure. And that was an inherited recovery, that is true. They had the benefit of that, and they boasted about it all the time, how well the economy was doing. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, good day, Mr. Lang.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, was listening to the conversation between you and the young lady before you went on the break. And one of the things I like when it comes to late boundary changes is that people like me tend to vote you out. The government, that is. So the government that
you take the late boundary to mean something?
Yes. So, yes, that's why I feel like you're trying to be vindictive. Against the other party or parties. So for that reason, I'm need looking your way just for you being spiteful. I'm going to get you back, so to speak. You understand? Mm. So I kind of like the late boundary. It's not fair to the persons who have been campaigning for so long. You're going to lose that.
You must have voted out some F&M governments too, because sometimes, I don't know, but late, but they did do the boundaries reporting leading up to the election.
I actually did.
Okay. All right.
I was a partner.
I got you. Thanks for calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Shivago Lang, good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on?
Right here, my brother. Very interesting conversation. And like the previous caller, I would also like to make a comment to the caller prior to her call, before you went to the break. Being a part of a political party, there are certain things that we have learned when it comes down to campaigning. And realizing that the governing party have the wherewithal or the right within their purview to adjust the boundary lines. Sometimes it works for them, sometimes it works against them. For the persons campaigning in adjacent constituencies, the strategy that we used was that where the existing boundary line exists prior to the election, and even if they were to cut and make the changes, whether critical in one side and less critical in the other, the candidates for the two adjacent constituencies, they would walk together, canvass those areas together that's close to the boundary line as they knew it, and so no matter which way that ball swung, the people in that particular borderline would then still be acquainted with either candidate. So it's a win-win situation when it comes down to that. We've seen in recent times fooling around and gerrymandering the lines, sometimes advantage, but it does not. The people still have their wherewithal, just as the previous caller said, and I'll close on this note, that sometimes we look at it as you trying to be very vindictive against the candidate running in that particular, that other side of the, or the representatives of the other party, when you may have already done your homework on the ground and feel that the candidates in the opposing party may have more support in those particular constituencies. So you're trying to lessen the blow by putting certain persons on that boundary line into the other constituency, lessening the blow. Is a very, very dangerous game that they play with gerrymandering the boundaries. But it is at their purview, and they tend to use it. So let's see what this election is going to do.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you calling. We have another call on the line.
Yes. Was the Prime Minister referring to a lunch program? Or was it
a breakfast program.
Oh, so that is different from the lunch program.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah, because I know lunch.
As far as I know, I mean, he called it a breakfast program.
Right, because I know a lunch program was in place for years.
Years and years and years and years. Years and years.
Exactly, but I haven't not, even heard
but I don't think it's extensive. I don't know.
Program being in place.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I, you know, they say breakfast is the first most important meal of the day.
Yeah, but I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything new about it myself. I haven't.
Yeah, I know, but the okay. lunch program. Yeah. Okay, then.
Yeah. Thank you so much, ma'am. Appreciate you calling. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Why Anton always trying to correct the facts? In opinion, COVID and Dorian had effect on the Bahamas. The Bahamian economy started to rebound before the election. Well, that's an irrefutable fact. It says, good afternoon, sir. I give this government a B. The reason is B is because there's a lot of infrastructure work going on. Also, I believe that this administration managed this country's physical affairs very well. I came to this conclusion because the positive outlook of our economy, this government deserves a second term, if just to finish these projects. Okay? This text says, good day, Brother Lang. The Bahamas has regained crisis mood after 2002 general election, and Jehovah God has not been pleased with the leadership of the Bahamas versus the people. Betrayal at the most, and when there is labor unrest, so does the government. Jehovah God is making a change again. Selah from Grand Bahama, we are listening today. Okay. This text is, Mr. Lang, over all the achievement the PM listed, I believe at Election Day, immigration will be his waterlog big time. Okay. This text is, Mr. Lang, you said you could see the foundation. Yeah, you could see the pictures I have. You could see the foundation because the framing is like there's no, it's not closed in, right? The building isn't closed in. It didn't have a roof. I'm talking about what was sent to me. Now, if the person who sent it to me sent me something like 8 months ago, I got to have a talk with him. This text says, I think Anton got the money back. His passion is over the top and oftentimes sound like crying. And I don't know, but Anton is a good body, and sometimes he criticizes his body. He is more straightforward. Not more straightforward, but he is passionate. He's the general is doing the general's job. Say, come on, sir. This constant badgering on every show, every day by Anton on behalf of the PLP has become a real turnoff, Mr. Lang. Bro, Anton does not seem to understand, though, for real. I mean, I try to be patient with callers, period. But Anton, does try to be, you know, you are not going to wrestle me to the ground on this show. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So good afternoon. The PLP met the country in such financial ruin, according to Anton, but yet they could have taken money out of the public treasury to take political cronies to Bermuda. It says, Mr. Lang, I like how you explain how it should be done. Say, Shivago, you must remember Anton's aim, purpose, era is to make the PLP look good, not to be fair and objective. So if he wants to bamboozle the people, why would he speak the truth? In his books, a vote again obtained by misinformation is still a vote. So, Lang, get out of here with your nonsense. The Prime Minister was simply listing some things his administration accomplished, always nitpicking at everything the PM say. I respect your knowledge, but it would help if the same is done for Michael Pintard, and it would help if you would not sing the same tune every day. What was I nitpicking at? I'm nitpicking? Bro, I just explained to you how I would give a report to the people of the Bahamas if I were Prime Minister. What nitpicking about that? And you do not want a report that says, when I came to office, this was the measure, and then now 4 years later, this is the measure? You don't want a report like that? Well, I understand. I understand. The only report you want here is, my party win. I mean, I understand that. Most people feel that way about their parties. But this is Z Live. I'm trying to help educate and guide people. And you don't like it? I don't know why you listen to this show every day. I really don't. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't mind. I would not listen to a show every day that was irritating me every day. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London, Vrbility Insurance, designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks, and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Daniel Boulud, Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, and Simeon Hall Jr., alongside a vibrant lineup of Bahamian chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. And don't miss an electrifying live performance by global superstar Lenny Kravitz, headlining the festival's welcome party on Friday, October 24th, with a concert experience you won't forget. This is more than a festival, it's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. Bahamar, life spectacular. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If in these remaining moments you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. No one can deny that when the Prime Minister says that this program to feed children, that there is, and children are being fed, right? No one can deny that there is a National Youth Guard. There is. No one can deny that there is, this is to my knowledge now, an effort to establish a significant apprenticeship program for the country. No one can deny that. Those are things which cannot be denied, because there is a sufficiency of evidence to support those things that the Prime Minister reported on. Okay? Here is where it gets hazy. This is where it gets hazy, right? And if you get upset, that's on you. I can't help you getting upset. So the Prime Minister says a tourism industry revitalized. What does that mean? So when was it unvitalized? Because revitalize means to vitalize again, right? Outside of the unique circumstances of COVID-19, to that point, the Bahamas was experiencing annual record-breaking numbers of tourism, particularly on the cruise side of things. Under Minnis, that report was happening. Then we had the pandemic. We are having, again, we're continuing to have those record numbers. But if you look at the tourism sector of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, like the most massive infrastructural developments are what? Most massive. Bahamas, well, yes. The cruise port. The cruise port didn't happen over the last 4 years. In fact, the cruise port was termed by one cabinet minister as the worst decisions about the Bahamas ever made. The cruise port. But the cruise port is where the massive numbers of tourists are coming in through. We're not having massive influxes of stopover tourists. We're having massive influxes of cruise tourists, right? So infrastructurally speaking, what does the revitalization mean? On the numbers side of things, what does that mean, revitalization, if we the numbers reflect what was happening pre-pandemic? So this is where it gets hazy. So I think in a reporting, you might want to give something more specific connected to your tenure and the progress being made in terms of what you've done, right? That's not specific, right? The holding of major sporting events. You all remember what I told you about the psychology of the list, right? Psychology of the list. This is a report, 4 years. Right? Now, here's where I think there is a miss, right? The Prime Minister indicates there are renovations to 52 clinics in the country. That's huge. I'd give lots of specifics on that. I tell you, we're renovating for this amount of money, the clinic in Georgetown, Exuma, this amount in Mayaguana, that one in Cat Island, 52 clinics being renovated. I don't gloss over that. That might be earlier up in my speech than where it is. But we just 52 clinics under renovation. The hospital, like, I think deserves more explanation. Here is what is true that the Prime Minister in his reporting could not say. Could not say. What is happening with Grand Lucaya? This is a 4-year report. What is happening with Grand Lucaya? What is happening with the airport in Grand Bahama? Right? Those are massive things you would want to report on. Right? What is happening with pipe? What is actually happening? So sometimes you look at the list, it's not only what is said on the list, it's what is not said on the list. That is something to be said about performance. Now, again, the Prime Minister, some might argue, was giving a talk at a church. Yes, he was. To his party. Yes, he was. But maybe it would be grand to give a comprehensive report to the nation. Mind you, as all leaders come to find, there is the report you give, and then there's the report people are giving to themselves. If you have a call on the line, this will probably be the last one. Go right ahead. You have 1 minute. Hi. Probably best. We're plumb out of time. Anyway, we're going to continue. Tomorrow is another day. Some thoughts yourselves. God bless you. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Have a great evening.